Hi, guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Sammy J. Welcome. I hope you guys had a lovely week. We did not post last week because it was Thanksgiving, but I hope you had a lovely day, and I'm very thankful for all of you. And I'm also thankful for this episode. Look at that transition, you guys. Anyways, this week I got to chat with the incredibly talented Olivia O'Brien. We have a really down-to-earth conversation about life, growing up in the public eye, social media, dating, her music, her latest tour, her EP, episode, season one, and so much more. I hope you guys enjoy. I'm so excited you're on my podcast, and I'm so excited we're doing this in person.
Thanks for having me. Do you normally do Zoom stuff? Is that what you've been doing lately or what?
Was in person, then pandemic, okay, yeah. And now it's like a mixture. So yeah. I'm like, seeing people in person just makes me so happy.
Yeah, same.
I'd love to talk to you about social media. How do you find a balance? You have millions of followers on Instagram. I'm 19 and for so many other people my age, and for some it's fun, but it's also part of a business and it can sometimes be really difficult.
It's really hard, and I pretty much have to be on social media. Like, I've taken breaks before and just, like, sent my photos to Max and been like, can you post this for me? It's weird. It's hard. I stopped editing my photos. Like, I used to, not changing everything, but, like, I used to, like, use Facetune. Like, yeah. I don't really use it anymore. Like, I do – I mean, if I have a fucking pimple or, like, if something looks weird in a photo, I'm going to edit it out. But I don't know. It's just, like – I'm trying really hard to have a healthy relationship with social media myself.
It's a struggle.
It's kind of an impossible task, or it seems very daunting because, like, the internet is dangerous. You have access to literally any piece of information about anything or anyone at any time, pretty much.
Yeah.
And even if it's not 100% true, you can still probably find out something about something, like people's conspiracy theories and, like, I don't know, and everyone's
you can go down a rabbit hole so fast.
Yeah, like, I always see things about myself that aren't even true, and, like,
that must be so annoying.
It's like the weirdest feeling in the world, but I have just really been trying to not focus on anyone else but me when I'm on social media. Like, that sounds not like in a selfish way, but, like, I don't need to go compare my likes to this person. I also, turning my likes off was really, like, I really, really liked doing that.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. I've deleted photos in the past, and it's stupid. If you like a photo, just post it.
Exactly. When you turn the likes off, then you, like, I don't even really check, like, I'm the only one that can see how many I get, and I don't even check it, because it still says, like, and others to me on my profile unless you, like, click on it and you look. So, like, if I don't want to know, I don't even have to know.
I haven't been on TikTok in a really long time. And maybe it's sad that I'm proud of myself for that, but I am. What's your favorite social media app? Because something that I know I've talked about in past episodes, but in college specifically, the main app that's used is Snapchat. Texting is not a thing. It's just Snapchatting. And to me, I miss text, and I wish I could delete Snapchat sometimes, but it's how everyone communicates.
Yeah, that's such a, like, college and high school thing.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
My best friend, she goes to school at Pitzer, like 45 minutes away from mm-hmm. here. And she came over. She's been sleeping in my house for the past two nights. And she was, like, Snapchatting this boy last night. And I'm like, dude, I haven't used Snapchat in so long. Like, I just don't use it. Whenever someone Snapchats me, I'm very confused. But it's such a college thing.
I know. It's terrible. I wish people could just text me or call me.
Just text me. I know. Seriously. Like, why? It just seems, like, sus and weird. And it reminds me of, like, middle school. And it's not
It triggers me from high school. And I was like, did I just get out of here?
Yeah, it's not the greatest. Yeah, I'd say my go-to social media is probably TikTok, just because it's so easy to just waste so much time. And I feel like it's, especially in the music industry, everyone's so obsessed with it right now. Like, let's make this a trend and blah, blah, blah. And you feel like you're left out if you're not always on TikTok. Like, there's so many weird trends that are always happening. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like,
there's always another one.
Yeah. It feels like like YouTube for people with really short attention spans.
Is it hard writing music in such a time period when it's all about, you know, making sure, like, this goes viral, this blows up, but actually focusing on the art of it still?
Honestly, when I'm writing, I don't think about anything except for what I want to say, because that's just how my best songs are made, and that's how I work as an artist. It's, like, always what I've done since I was a little kid. But, you know, like, the other day I wrote a song. I just started writing, going back into sessions pretty recently. after like me doing my little tour and just I've been super busy with other things and I haven't really been writing, but I had two sessions last week. And the first one, we wrote this song and it was, we were having so much fun. It was like a really great session. And we finished the song and I was like, wait, like this actually, I could see like this being a moment on TikTok or something. And I was glad that I didn't have that thought until after we had already written the song. But like, that's kind of how it works. It's like, oh, I could see this happening. Yeah. And then it's like after the song is done, I'm like, oh, well, what could I do for this? But I also don't really like, it sucks to think like that. Like, you don't want to be like, well, let's make a song that'll blow up on TikTok.
I know, but
people
like,
do that.
But with the age we're living in, it's kind of hard not to think that way.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I've never even, like, even before TikTok was a thing, I never wrote a song or wrote songs being like, well, let's try to get it as top 40 radio as possible so that we could get it, like, to sound as radio and cool. Like, I never thought like that ever.
That's what I find so interesting and so kind of unique about your career is that it just started with that one song, I Hate You, I Love You, and it wasn't about blowing up. It was just about writing and using that as therapy, which is so special. And it just goes to show, like, art can speak alone for itself.
Exactly. And that's what I've been trying to, like, not necessarily trying to replicate, but I don't want to ever, like, be like, oh, I need another hit. I need another hit. I need to write a hit. Because that's not how I Hate You, I Love You happened.
Yeah.
It's not how anything, like,
just
that
you do
I
you,
be,
you know?
Yeah. I just want to, you know, make stuff that I'm proud of and that I like and stay true to myself. And that's more important to me than anything else.
What was your favorite experience playing so far? Like, have you had a certain performance that stood out as your mind is like your favorite?
I think Lollapalooza was really special because it was my first real show back after the pandemic. And it was just incredible. There was so many more people than I thought would be there. It was really, really hot and like kind of excruciating, but it was really fun. So, yeah, that was just like a great weekend. It was kind of like my introduction back into the world of performing and just festivals in general.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really great and memorable. But I think all my performances are special for different reasons. You know, like, it's kind of like asking me what my favorite song of mine is. Like, I don't really have one because, like, I like them for all for different reasons,
yeah.
You know?
And also, like, each performance is a different audience and you get, like, a different energy, I'm
and I
sure.
make a different mistake every time.
What happens when you do make a mistake on stage? Because I cannot imagine. Do you just like embrace it and then just go forward, or do you just kind of skip past it?
I pretty much always point it out. Like, I'm always like, oh, oops, sorry, guys. Or like, I just like, I'm like, fuck.
I think people forget that everyone's human. And then when people fuck up on stage, it's like, yeah, they are. That needs to, I think, be celebrated more than anything else.
Yeah. I think I try to make it a point to like show the fact that I am very imperfect whenever I can, because I don't ever want anyone. It's kind of multiple things. It's like, I don't want to have to like uphold some perfect image that I know I'm never gonna be. And I also, you know, want everyone to know that nobody's perfect and they don't have to be perfect either. You know, it's kind of like a bunch of different things.
Something that I love about performances, I don't know if you've ever seen Julia Michaels live, but it was one of the best performances I've ever seen. It's like when artists talk to the audience and just have fun with it, like you do. It makes you feel like you have a connection with the people that are there, and it just makes the experience so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to ever feel like I'm like a robot and just like – some people, I feel like the only thing that they change in their set at each city is like, hello, insert different city here. And like I always try – I have like this tour that I most recently just did, my California shows in like a week, but it's like the closest thing I've ever had to like something kind of scripted. Like I have things that I say, but I still kind of try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah,
because,
keep you on your toes.
Yeah, because I don't know. It's hard for me to like do the same thing every single night. One, it gets boring, and two, like I do want to make it personal to whoever's there. Like I don't want every single person to get the exact same thing, and they know exactly what they're getting, and then it's not special, you know.
And I know you've talked about like being in creative ruts and all that, and they creative ruts are so underratedly terrible and not discussed because a few months ago I was in a really bad creative rut, probably the first one I've ever like truly experienced. And I'd look up YouTube videos like how to get out of creative rut, and there was nothing.
It happens all the time. Sometimes there's nothing I can really do to get out of it. I just kind of cancel all my sessions and try to go live my life. That's usually what I do, is I just try to experience things. I try to not work and not force myself to work. Sometimes if it's been a really long time and I'm just kind of used to like having writer's block, like the other day, a couple weeks ago, I was like starting to write by myself in my studio again, and I just forced myself to write like 8 songs. Like I would go in every single day and just like write a little song by myself.
Doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be good. Just like as a little exercise. Like, so if you really are stuck and you know you need to start being creative again, you just kind of have to force yourself. And if it's bad, it's bad. But once you get kind of back into the rhythm of it, like it'll start feeling normal again, and then you'll get more inspired. But for the most part, I just like to go out and live my life and meet people and try to get inspiration from wherever I can, because like that's just how it works for me.
No, but that's what your songs are. They're about your life. So the best way to be inspired is to live your life.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of songwriting?
I like how it just kind of acts as a therapy for me, and I can say whatever I want. And a lot of times, like, I'll be too afraid to tell someone something to their face, but I can always write a song about it.
That's awesome. What an awesome outlet to have.
Great. It's amazing. And it can help me like realize things. And it's also like every time I go in, and especially when I work with a top liner that I really love, like another writer, it's like having therapy, because I have to tell them what we're going to write about. Like I have to tell them about
everything
that's been going on with my life. And I'll realize so many things. Like my last session that I had, I even told her, I was like, this feels like therapy right now, because we were going over just everything that I'd done in the past week and how I was getting over this guy. And I realized like that, and she made me realize like that I don't love this kid. Like it was like crazy. I was sitting there like, wow, this is a very
clarity,
very deep session we're having right now. But it was great. It was awesome. So I think it's also nice that I get to do this as a job, because it's something I would be doing regardless.
If you weren't a singer, or if you weren't an artist who's putting their music out there, what do you think you'd be doing?
I'd probably be either a lawyer or a psychologist. Like being interested in psychology has helped me with my songwriting a lot, because I psychoanalyze people and it makes me like think deeper about what I'm writing about and what I want to say and how I feel about other people and how they feel about me, and it gives me more concepts and it's cool.
I think that's so interesting. Something that we actually have in common is that I also have OCD and struggle with anxiety. And when I heard you talking about it, I was like, man, more people should talk about it, because I feel like there's such a stereotype. Like if you have OCD, like you just like to have everything clean and organized. It's like, no, it's different for everybody.
For me, it's like I never even would have thought that I possibly could have OCD until I got diagnosed, because people are so wrong about what it is.
Yeah.
And it can be, yes, some people with OCD love to have everything clean and perfect all the time, but it's not, and like, especially if you have like OCD and ADHD, like that's so hard, because you don't have the attention span to like clean and make your life perfect, but then it pisses you off that it's not perfect, but then you can't fix it because
it's
so distracted and you're doing all these things. I don't know. It's just like, anxiety disorders are really—
they're so annoying.
Yeah, and they're also really complex. Like, I think they all are very similar, but then they're different. So it's like—
and everyone reacts to it differently. Everyone, like, perceives things differently.
Exactly. And my sister has OCD too, so it's like— and we both just got diagnosed. And it's crazy, because I've been going to therapy and seeing psychiatrists since I was a kid.
Me too!
So, like, I should have been. But they were just like, oh, you're depressed, you have anxiety, whatever, whatever. And then it took a long time of me actually explaining things. And then I also started talking to my friends about, like, you know, intrusive thoughts and random things. And I'm like, did this happen to you guys? And they're like, no. And I always thought that happened to everyone,
no,
and that it was normal.
I relate.
Until I started actually asking people about it. I hated therapy for a while, because my mom like kind of forced me to be in therapy. I would think I was around 8 too. It was when my parents first separated. My mom was like, oh, wait, I need to put them in therapy. My mom like loves therapy, and she's the biggest advocate for therapy. But
sometimes you got to be ready to do it.
Yeah, if you don't want to go, you're not going to get anything out of therapy. If someone's forcing you to go, like, I would sit there and I wouldn't talk, because I didn't know— I didn't want to talk. I didn't know what I wanted to say. I didn't know why I was even there. Like, it was just not beneficial to me at all. It was wasting an hour of my week every week. It took me a while of realizing, like, okay, I actually want to go to therapy and I want to help myself. This is the first time in my life that it's actually been beneficial to me, because I decided that I wanted to go and I made the active decision, and that's when I got my diagnosis and when everything started to make sense and I got on medication, and now I'm doing so much better because I wanted to do better, you know?
There's something very special. I know special is an interesting word to use, but I'm going to use it anyways, about when you get diagnosed. Everything, at least for me, it just clicks. I've just went through so many life experiences and it all made sense.
And you go home and Google literally everything about it. And you're like, does this have to do with my OCD?
Yeah, and you're like, oh my God. And it makes you feel less alone.
Yeah.
But you got to be ready for it. But I think one of the things that I've learned, for me at least, is that I wouldn't be who I am if I don't have anxiety, if I don't have OCD. I wouldn't be talking to you right now, frankly. And I think I'm trying to find the good parts in it. And though it sucks, it's making me who I am.
Yeah. And I think having an anxiety disorder, like, makes you a little bit more of a complex thinker because you're always thinking about literally everything. And I know that's such a, like, it sucks and there's
no, I'm just relating to you right now. I'm just relating to you.
Trying to find a silver lining is like, it's like, okay, well, I still don't want an anxiety disorder just because it makes me a deep thinker. But like, it's a nice, cool little side effect.
Yeah, like you know what? Different in a good way.
Yeah, and I agree. It's, I mean, but that's with everything in life. You wouldn't be who you are without every single part of you. And it all makes up the big picture, right? So yeah, I like to look at that. I like to look at it that way as well.
Okay, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about your music, tour, and so much more. We'll be right back. And we're back. I will say one thing I love about your projects and you as an artist is that you're so versatile. Like Seasons, episode one, it just shows the difference in the styles you like. And that's so incredible in itself.
I like a lot of different things. I like a lot of different genres of music and also different TV shows. I'll go through phases where I'm super into a certain kind of music or a certain show or
a
certain movie.
That's all of us.
Yeah, but then I think, and then when I move on from that, or like I'll start dressing differently, but I still like have all the other parts of me and the other phases within my personality and within who I am. So I feel like I can kind of be everything all at once, and I don't ever want to put myself into a box of like, oh, I have to make songs that all sound like this because this is what people want from me. Or, oh, I can only have this aesthetic because everyone thinks that this is my thing. Like, no, you can literally, if you like, the most beautiful part about living in the time that we live in is you can be and do anything, pretty much anything that you want.
Now, hear me out. But I think it would be so cool if one of the songs you wrote on Seasons was actually put in a TV show.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
When is season two coming out? Of Seasons?
That's a great question. I don't know. So basically what happened right now is, or what's happening right now is that my label's in like a very transitional period. Our president left, and basically like everyone that I've worked with on the team at my label is gone. They've either been laid off or quit and moved, like went to another
Reorgs
label.
Reorgs suck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not the best. And it's happened. This is like this will be the third president that I've had at my label.
How long have you been at your label?
Since I was 16. So six years almost. That's
frustrating.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating. But the new presidents, there's going to be two of them that are working together, and they start on January 1st.
Okay.
So after that, I'll be able to, you know, kind of regroup with them and hopefully put something out. The plan originally was like, oh, I'm going to put out season one, and then season two is going to come really shortly after. It was really, really frustrating at first because all I wanted to do was put it out. I've had these songs for literally years. Like, a lot of these songs on season two are like 2 years old or more. Like,
damn.
Really, really crazy.
When you write songs so many years ago, like, you grow as a person and you're like, I kind of want to shut that era out and start something new.
Yeah, and I want to, now I'm still writing, and that's the problem is I'm still writing and I'm liking everything that I'm writing, and it's like, am I going to boot out all these songs that I know are really good that I've had for 2 years because I want to show the world these new things that are more representative of who I am now? And like, that's not fun either, because then I have these old songs that are really good. And that
you're proud of.
And that I'm proud of, and that would be something amazing that I just like don't want to put out anymore because I've moved on from it. It just sucks. It's like, it just takes so long for anything to happen. I wish I could just write a song and just put it out. Like, it would make my life so much easier.
That'd be kind of iconic if you did that, though.
People don't understand how...
People only see the finished product.
Yeah. They don't understand really everything that goes into it. It's a lot, and it sucks.
Yeah, like, let's talk about Sociopath for a sec. You're wearing the hat, so it's reminding me. You did a full, like, horror movie for that, which is So sick, by the way.
Thank you.
Things are thought out. It's not just about like writing a song and putting it out. There's a whole coordination that happens to, you know, have someone come out. Jordan Fisher told me, like, when he was filming a movie, people just see the finished product. People don't see going on set, the working, the editing, and everything that it takes to put something out.
You have to kind of have a plan before you do anything with music. Like, you have to come up with a concept, especially with visuals, like with music videos and cover art. If you're doing singles before the project, it all kind of has to be cohesive. There's been times I've put stuff out thinking that it's going to be one way, and then I'll completely change everything, and then it, like, just is different. So it's hard. It's like you have to be, like, preemptive, and I'm not. Like, whenever I'll have an idea for something and be like, this is it. This is going to be the best thing ever. And then we'll wait months for it to come out. And by the time that it's coming out, I've switched. I'm like, oh, I don't want to call it that anymore. I want to call it this because I have a better idea. And it's like, well, you just put this stuff out without that concept and they're going on the project. So, like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I'll figure it out.
How are you doing being 21? You're my brother's age. You're balancing so much. A career, just growing up, like all of it. How are you balancing all of it? Because I feel like it's not easy, and we need to recognize that because having millions of people look at what you do all the time is not a normal thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely doing a lot better than I was. I had to grow up really fast when I was really young. So, like, I was 16 when I moved to LA, and as soon as I got here, I realized people aren't very nice. Just like in high school, everyone was mean, but in LA, it's
another
next level.
They're another breed out here.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was used to like high school mean girls and. Their guys were mean too, but
no, it's different because it's, people are nice to your face, but then
people will go actually out of their way to plot on your fucking downfall out here. It's crazy. Like they will like plot and scheme. Like they will make up like plans to like make you like it's frightening. It's truly frightening. Like they'll say things to you, like it's literal manipulation. It's insane. So
I hope you cut those people out of your life.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
But you can't fully ever cut anyone out here because you'll fucking see them out. Yeah. So, and I don't want to ever have beef with anyone or be fighting with anyone. So I always just kind of, people that have done me wrong a lot in the past, I just kind of keep them at an arm's length because I don't want them, I don't want to be on their bad side. I don't want them on, like, I don't want to have bad blood with anyone. But there's some people that you just can't have in your life and you can't forgive because they're going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. But I've tried to really make it a point to not have that bad blood with anyone because it's just not – there's no point. It's just
we don't
dumb.
Need that energy.
Exactly. But I think I've just – it's just it takes time to just learn how to – what works best for you in terms of balancing everything in your life. And I've been out here for a while, and I'm just kind of finally getting into the groove of things. I bought a house.
Hey!
And I have my little, like
– do you have any pets?
Yeah, I have a dog. Same
what
sister.
Kind of dog?
He's a toy Australian Shepherd. He's very cute.
I miss my dog.
Dogs are the best. But I recently started seeing this guy who has 15 dogs.
15 dogs?
15 dogs.
Just what? Like, that's
it's
a weird.
It's amazing. It's really perfect.
Like, same kind of dog? Or like?
No, they're all. He, like, saves them from, like, being killed.
You got a guy who saves puppies in his free time. That's. Good job, Olivia.
Thank you.
have you written any songs yet about this person?
One, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to take one more quick break, but when we come back, let's talk more about life, dating, and a lot more. We'll be right back. And we're back. I'm still trying to figure out, like, the whole dating situation. I hate that dates aren't a thing anymore.
I know. Well, actually, I've been with this guy. He's been taking me out on a bunch of dates, which is really sweet. Like, he'll come and pick me up and take me to dinner and stuff.
The bare minimum. We should have been like, oh, my God, he held the door.
No, and I'm telling my friends all these things that he's doing, and they're just like, wow, that's so cute and so amazing. But I'm like, this is what we all should be getting.
This is called human,
like,
decency.
Yeah, like, he's setting the standard really high for everyone else, but it's because – the bar is so low already right now. So, that song that I wrote about him is about how, like, he's putting all the other guys that I've ever talked to shame because he, like, actually is nice to me. But
what's that like?
Yeah, it's – well, my problem is that I always like the guys that are mean – or not mean, but, you know, kind of asshole guys.
Yeah, but there's something, like, appealing about it. I was talking to my friend. A guy invited me over at, like, not – at, like, 5 p.m. I was like, oh, my God, not, like, 11 p.m. And they're like – that shouldn't be something you should be, like, excited about. That's, like, a basic thing. I'm like,
Yeah. My only advice to you is find someone smart. Because.
In what aspect?
Just someone that you.
Street smart, academic smart. Like.
They don't have to be academic smart. Just like someone that when you talk to them, you feel like your brain and their brain are on the same level. Like, whatever I'm. If I'm dating someone who I don't think is as intellectually capable as I am, and not in like, I don't think I'm like a genius. Like, I've obviously met people that I'm like, okay, this person's way smarter than me. I need to leave. But you want to feel like you're kind of on the same level as them because you'll understand life at like a similar
viewpoint,
like, pace also. Like, it's you don't have to like stop and wait for someone to like figure something out. And it's like a banter thing too. Like when you talk to them, you want to be able to make sure that they understand your jokes and you understand their jokes and the things that you say. You don't want there to be any miscommunication. That's, I think, it's not even just intelligence. It's just like the way that their brain works. But that's the most important thing in any relationship that I've realized. Because I only ever like people when we're able to really, really talk about important things. Like, I don't care if people are hot anymore, which is like sad.
No,
only care about
that is not sad. It's about... That's like hot, like looks are a temporary thing. Like, and, let's be honest about that.
And also, anyone can be hot. It's really not that hard. Like, anyone can be like at least mediocrely hot.
Exactly.
It's, not everyone can have a good personality, and not everyone can be smart, mm-hmm. and not everyone can be funny.
Something I've learned about myself is that I don't like clinginess. I like people that are
independent
and are driven and like to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Because something I'm realizing. Is that people follow my Instagram, which it's not, I'm not verified. I'm not have millions. And they're like, oh my God, so like, you know, famous people. And I'm like, Like, no, like, what?
Yeah.
That's a red flag.
It's also very,
Cause like, I get what I do is so peculiar and I get it's not normal for my age, but at the same time, I don't like, then that's all people wanna talk about.
Yeah, you have to have someone that's good. And I deal with that all the time of like, that's why it's hard for me to, date people. Like, that's why I always date guys that are like assholes, because they're in the entertainment industry, they understand what I do, so they're
not
like they're not like intimidated by the fact that I have a really crazy weird job and I'm on the road all the time and I make more money than most 21-year-olds, and like it can be kind of emasculating for a lot of guys if they don't feel like they're as successful as you, even if you don't see it that way, they may see it that way as just like their own personal insecurity thing, because, you know, society tells us
you're a boss ass bitch, Olivia.
But society tells us that we're supposed to, you know, that men are supposed to be the breadwinners and they're supposed to be like the big strong man that has the better career. And it really has like taken a toll on a lot of people, like a lot of guys mentally, because they don't think that they're good enough if their woman is like strong or it's complicated, but it just sucks because it makes me feel like I can't date guys that aren't like in my industry or at least as successful as me. But then I don't want to measure success in any way. Like, success is what you make to be. It's your own
like
thing.
So like, you're open to someone that's not in the industry but understands it.
Yeah. And that's like the guy that I'm talking to right now. He's not in the music industry at all or entertainment. He's like works in banking.
You got a finance bro?
But it's been really nice. He has the same job as my dad, actually, which is like he's a CFA, which is weird. And they're the same exact height, and they're both the youngest. They both have four older siblings, and they're the youngest in their family.
That's weird.
And there's like a bunch of weird
things.
Like, and
you're
I'm like,
dating
am I
your dad
like,
a little
yeah,
bit?
It's like, but I don't. It's very strange dealing with that. But yeah, it's been nice to like, cause he gets it, and he's friends with a lot of people that I know, and he's like been around. Like he gets it.
Yeah,
but he's not. In it, and he doesn't. I don't know. It's just really
he like
nice.
Knows it from a distance, but doesn't like, especially someone that doesn't want to be in it.
Yeah,
I'm
like so over the whole. Just it's complicated.
I'm over it, and I haven't even started. Yeah. I haven't even started.
Yeah, it's complicated, and you're gonna face that a lot as just like a strong, independent woman that, you know, has career driven. Like you're gonna face a lot of insecure boys that are gonna, yeah. So you just have to learn what to spot.
It's okay. I'll just listen to your songs and I'll just figure out who to avoid.
Perfect. I'm still figuring it out myself, so we'll see.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Isn't that the journey we're
it's
on?
Never,
though?
Never ending.
It really is. Do you have any hobbies you like to do in your free time?
Write songs.
Besides that,
I went through a phase where I made friendship bracelets. That was fun.
I used to be obsessed with making friendship bracelets.
It's kind of therapeutic to just like check out and just tie a bunch of knots.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to use my brain. Because especially as someone who has OCD, like
it's a good thing to zone in on.
Focusing on something. But then that's the other problem is I also have ADHD. So I can't like – I get over things. Like I'm not – sometimes like, it's hard for me to take a moment to actually – once I start, if I sit down and I do something,
the hardest
I can
part
get
is
into
starting.
It.
It's the hardest
it's like,
part.
I just can't bring myself
it's to. It's like working out.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Let's not talk
once
about
once I start working out, I'll work out and I'll love it. And I'll go like for a couple weeks, I'll like work a couple days a week and I'll go with my friends. And then if I stop, I'm never going back.
But that's the other thing with like, I'm also, I think my OCD makes me more of a perfectionist. So I have this trouble of like, I don't want to do anything unless
I'm really good at it. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So something that I really enjoyed is I started listening to Bob Ross videos to go to sleep. And I was like, you know what? I went to BobRossIncorporated.com. This is not an ad. But I got his painting kit and I watched his YouTube videos. And I'm obsessed with making Bob Ross paintings. I learned how to use oil paint, and it's such a good distraction for my mind. So,
wow. Yeah, little things like little crafts and things like that are so helpful.
I love
helpful.
To sew.
Yeah, sewing is fun. I used to work my first like quote unquote job. I was an unpaid intern, but I was like 8 years old and I ripped seams in a dress shop in Napa. Yeah,
honestly, that's like kind of when I was 10, I created a business called Sammy J Designs where I made bags and sold them.
Fun. I think you're just a businesswoman at heart. You're just an ultimate girl boss.
But it's hard to find people also that just like are driven as well.
Yeah.
So it's nice to like especially talk to like-minded people where it's all about working and just doing what you love.
Yeah.
Olivia, thank you for coming on my podcast. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
I know. And, it's like big sister vibes.
Oh, God. Don't make me feel old.
No, you're my brother's age. You're my older brother's age. So – therefore, older sister.
Okay. I'll take it. Only a couple years.
Only 2 years. Like it's.
Well, I do turn 22 in a month, so.
Oh my God. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
We need to look out for each other, especially just as girls in general. Like, it's scary out there.
Really is. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the Let's Be Real podcast. Olivia, again, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you enjoyed it. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Follow Olivia O'Brien on all of her socials. And I'd love it if you followed me. My Instagram's it's Sammy J. That's ITSSAMMYJAYE. And I will see you guys next week with another episode. Bye.